All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then let's dive in. Lord, thank you for this time that we can gather around your word. Lord, help us as we come to this point in our worship service. Lord, that you would put forth your spirit and that you would do the work in your people that brings you the most honor. That you would grant repentance. That you would convict us of things in our lives that we so cling to. That you would encourage us in the areas of our lives that we desperately need encouragement and strength and to be built up. Lord, that you would do that that brings you the most honor. Lord, we come to you in desperate need. Lord, we confess openly we are frail creatures of dust. And if you leave us to ourselves, we are doomed. That we pray, Lord, for your presence, that you will not leave us. For leaving us, Lord, for even a second, is leading us into temptation, Lord. But we ask that you would deliver us from evil. That you would help us to see you high and lifted up. That we would see Christ and Him alone. That we would cling to Him. As we sang the great hymn today, that we would cling to you. That nothing in our hands we bring, simply to the cross we cling. That we have nothing to bring to you but ourselves. Do this great work in us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we continue through this book of Isaiah, is traditionally called the fifth gospel, this great book, we are now finding ourselves at the end of another major section where Jesus, Isaiah the prophet has addressed the 13 nations or 13 cities or countries or people. We are on the cusp of entering next week as we start Isaiah 24. It's chapter 24, 25, 26, and 27 is traditionally called the Isaiah Apocalypse. And then after that, we have in chapter 28 through 35, God dealing directly with His people. And then chapter 36 through 39 is of those three four chapters, famous Isaiah and Hezekiah, King Hezekiah, and the dealings that are going on between them. And then we get to the Promised Land, chapter 40. And chapter 40 through chapter 66, we are going to shout and praise, and it is going to be one wave after another wave of God's awesome grace in our lives. So we have a journey still ahead of us, but today is an important landmark, a move. Last week, as we looked in chapter 22, and many of you, I've had many people come and talk to me and ask me about 22 and said that they were convicted over things in their lives, and praise the Lord, I'm thankful for that. That was the reason God addressing His people in Isaiah 22 and the judgment that came upon His people. Do y'all remember the reason why He was judging His people? Because you couldn't tell them apart from the world. God's people acted and looked and lived just like the rest of the world, which is an indictment of where the church in America is today. Can we really tell us apart? Now, this morning is kind of more the same. But he's addressing the city of Tyre. And really, Tyre and Sidon go together. Especially in the New Testament, when you read one, it mentions the other, Tyre and Sidon. But Sidon was basically the twin cities, the two cities together. But the port of Tyre was where all the prosperity came from. If you're looking for a title, you have it on your outlines. If you got an outline, the Lord will humble the proud. And we're going to look at three verses. But in your outline, again, I gave you an outline of the whole chapter because I want you to know and understand the context of the whole chapter. But I also put an extra note at the end of your outline chapter of how Christ redeemed the city of Tyre. And I gave you some New Testament passages of Jesus dealing with different people from the city of Tyre. And the last one, the passage in Acts, is basically the Lord used, as you could see from the other passages, there was a church, a Christian church that was built in Tyre. And so you see that fulfilled ultimately, that the gospel went to this city and people responded. And there was a church that was built in the city. So I wanted you to be able to see that even through this punishment and what God did in this city, that there was grace. There's always a remnant. Amen? Always. God is always going to have His people in every city, in every tongue, in every nation. And He's going to be faithful to that remnant. And you see that in those passages that I gave you. Every year, there's a report that is put out and published of the busiest, biggest, most productive ports in all the world. Since 2015, Shanghai, China has led the charge. They've been on top of the list, if you can imagine that. Just to kind of give you a comparison of how huge the port is in Shanghai. LA, which is the busiest, biggest U.S. port, is ranked 17th in the world. I looked up the top 50 because I kind of wanted to know, are there any other U.S. Cities that are in the top 50? So I looked them up, and these are the rest of the U.S. cities that are ranked in the top 50. New York, New Jersey is ranked 23rd. Interesting enough, Savannah is ranked number 35. Seattle is 41. And these are the only U.S. cities that are ranked in the top 50 of the biggest, busiest ports in the world. The flow of materials and merchandise through these massive ports are essential to international economies, not just America's, but the world. If you can, as we have seen lately, what happened in the Suez Canal and all the backup from one ship and what happened and what is happening now just from one ship. The sea the oceans, the waters, has always been the easiest and the most inexpensive way to transport merchandise. It's been like this for eternity. For this reason, large cities have always grown by bodies of water, large bodies of waters and large lakes and rivers. This morning, as we look at chapter 23, God, the prophet Isaiah is pronouncing God's judgment on the city and the port of Tyre. And Tyre's dependency on the sea is the focus of what Isaiah's prophecy is about. Tyre was, to mention the name and the city of Tyre, it was synonymous with commercialism and materialism. Now, I'm about to tie in some more things with this, so hold on. These things that I'm giving you are important for you to understand. Tyre is known throughout antiquity and history. Tyre was labeled the Babylon of the sea. Tyre has two cities. There were two places. There was an island that the port was a part of. There's an island. And so there was a city on the island, and then there was an inland city on the coast. And Sidon was also a part of that, a little ways, just a little north of that. But they were, the city had grown and kept growing and growing. And so there were two parts, an inland part and an island part. And the inland part of Tyre, if you could imagine, because of the wealth of Tyre, as we will see and point out as part of this passage, it was in high demand. And so the Assyrians conquered Tyre and was brutal with that city. And then the Babylonians after that. And Isaiah prophesied this. In this chapter, he prophesied about the Assyrians and the Babylonians coming in and taking the city and laying it low. So Tyre was destroyed. The inland part of it was destroyed by the Babylonians completely. But the port was still running through the island part, and it wasn't as large as it was before the Assyrians and then the Babylonians. But in 332 BC, as Tyre was making its comeback, Alexander the Great came through and laid it to waste. I mean, not one building on top of another building. Leveled it. And it's never come back since then. Which Isaiah also prophesied. And so you see these main events. And this is part of the reason why, when people look at the book of Isaiah, why they say, as we started out, some of you will remember this as we talked about this when we started Isaiah, that people will say, no, there can't be one Isaiah. So they've come up with the multiple Isaiah way of explaining that there was multiple Isaiahs, and that's why his prophecies were so accurate, because they can't hold to that God spoke to this one prophet and he was that accurate. They can't hold to it. So they've come up with the multiple Isaiah prophecies, that there was more than one Isaiah that God used, and that like in Isaiah 23, say, predicting the Assyrians coming in and the Babylonians coming in, and then later the Romans coming in, that there's no way that he could be this this right. And so, which I believe there was one Isaiah, and God was using this man. And as we looked at last week, even as God was pronouncing judgment on all these different peoples, and Isaiah was preaching and teaching the proclaiming these messages in Jerusalem, God's people should have said, well, wait a minute. Why is God judging these people for this sin when we're doing the same thing? They should have been able to sit and go, wait a minute. God's judging the Egyptians for this, and the Assyrians for this, and the Babylonians for this, and Edom for this, and if you remember, we've gone through each of these steps, and there was specific reasons. And Isaiah said, "This is why God's judging you." God's people should have sat back and gone, "Wait a minute, this is in my life," and that's why last week Isaiah was like, "Yeah." Well, let me tell you, the reason why God's judging you is because you haven't recognized and you look like everybody else. So we get to this last one, which is where the extra people come in, because which to me, it's really Tyra and Sidon together. But it's really one of the same, but there's two different places. So this city and this prophecy is very, very important. And Tyre's influence on the people of Israel, it was both good and bad. Let me give you some good. You can read in 2 Samuel chapter 5 and 1 Kings chapter 5 where David and Solomon were supplied with great resources, tools and materials from the port of Tyre, that to build the temple, to build the walls, to build the Jerusalem, and build all that they used Tyre greatly, and that was the main port where all these materials were coming in, and tools and resources. Also, when Israel was building up their navy in 2 Chronicles chapter 8, a lot of the officers and sailors and seamen they had been and worked in the city of Tyre. They had been trained as men of the sea in Tyre. But there was one really bad thing that came from Tyre. There's a lot of bad things that came from Tyre, but one thing, probably the worst ruler Israel has ever had to deal with, came from Tyre. Jezebel. Jezebel was from Tyre. And I know you are probably sitting there saying, wait a minute, Jezebel wasn't the king. No, but she should have been. Because she ran everything and Ahaz let her. So that's the history, a little bit of the history between the people of God and this city, Tyre, that now God has waited till the very end of all these judgments of the different nations. And there's a reason for this. There's a logical reason that God waited for Tyre to be pronounced last. And this is it. The city, the port of Tyre, represents human striving after wealth. I'm going to tell you, material possessions that we believe, I'm talking about us. Let's for a minute put a pause on Tyre. Material possessions, worldly comforts, these things that we believe will make us more comfortable, more happy, more prosperous, and ultimately will satisfy our craving. Though these possessions that we see all around us, they can be a good gift from God. But like anything created, anything given to us in this life, every one of those things can also become an idol, right? These things that are good and gifts that God can give us to help us, and that will also we as human beings, because of the depravity of our hearts, we soon and often make them idols. Here, anything in your life that is at the center of your life, or that is above the Lord, that is an idol. So let me ask you this. I want to help you focus in before we look at this passage, these verses. What is the focus of your life? Is it the Lord? What is the focus of your life? Is it a child? Is it the pursuit of wealth? Is it the pursuit? I know there are some people that are so focused on what makes me happy. Is it that? Is it emotional happiness? What is the focus of your life? If it is not the Lord, that is an idol. Tyre, the city of Tyre, represents idolatry. It represents human pride. It represents these two things that really are one. The idolatry of wealth and things and stuff and the world and the world that is so alluring and looks so beautiful. These things that our flesh in a way craves. Amen. I mean, we're all guilty of this. There's not anybody in this room that does not struggle with this a bit. As we will see at the end, in the closing, here we go again with Isaiah. We keep going back to Isaiah chapter 6. But it was right when Isaiah stood before the Lord and he said, I'm undone. And I dwell amongst the people that are undone. Because he recognized it was a tsunami. It had overtaken not just him, but the people of God. That they all were struggling with this. This is an issue that we are all struggling with, which I will get to that point. We're getting to that a little bit later. But these things, human pride, the pursuit of great human knowledge and wealth and comfort and where we push constantly, and we push more for these things than we do the Lord. Now, I want to pause for a minute. I'm going to hit pause. And I want to share with you that wealth and riches are not all the time evil, because some of the greatest men in Scripture were extremely wealthy. Job. And Scripture said what? He's the most righteous man on earth. Abraham was very wealthy. And so we see examples that it's not wealth and prosperity that's evil. It's our hearts that are evil. Do you understand? It's not possessions and blessings and stuff. It's when that stuff is more precious to you than your spiritual life, your enjoyment of God. Do you love your stuff more than you love Jesus? Really? I mean, I know I keep saying this, but I'm building this case, but we're going to get to this soon. But this is the thing. What if we do lose everything in America? Truly. What if we lose everything and have nothing? And what if the only thing that you have to cling to is Jesus? Is that enough for you? Is that enough? All right. Now I'm going to tie in some points that I need to touch on, and then we're going to dive in. In Ezekiel chapter 28, you don't turn there. This is later for you to do research on. The king of Tyre is equated to Satan. If you read Ezekiel 28, it talks about the beauty of the king of Tyre and his wealth and his riches and his knowledge that he possessed and learned. And Ezekiel the prophet called the king of Tyre, he basically called him Satan. You can read it. You can look at it and see. So in history, in human history, there's basically two main ways to conquer other countries and to rule more lands. One way that we talk about quite often through biblical redemptive history is military might. But there's another way that doesn't involve one bullet, and it's economic might. That the countries that have the most money often rule the most land. And it's because of this. And you're going to see this in this passage. As you read Isaiah 23, you can see it is so evident. Like when they pulled up in their ships and saw that Tyre had been leveled, the people, they were talking about, man, they're going to mourn in Egypt. They're going to mourn in Spain. The whole world is mourning. You know why? Because these crops and these materials and this merchandise was coming into Tyre, and it was selling all over the world, and it was making people rich all over the world. And so economic might, people come to you. You don't have to go overtake them. They come to you. And so the cities like this, like Tyre, and why Isaiah is purposely waited until the very last nation to say, Tyre, this is your judgment, and this is why. Because you put wealth. You put your happiness and your prosperity above the Lord. Above the Lord. Sometimes economic domination is more powerful than military domination. So, let's dive in. Let's look at this. I'm going to show you from these three verses, but it's all in this chapter. And I want you to spend time with this chapter. And I've given you the outline so you can go through it. But I want to look specifically at these three verses. And then we're going to deal with stuff in our life. Okay? It's foolishness to rely on human glory. It's foolishness to rely on human pride. It's foolishness to rely on human knowledge. Foolishness. And so in verse 7, we're going to start in verse 7. You know, when something happens like, say, Hurricane Michael, we all are a little bit in shock. We can't really believe it. I mean, even today, we ate at the Miller's. By the way, Craig can cook now. Ashley can cook, but Craig, your son can cook. Did you know that? Okay. So we went over to Miller's house on Friday, and Craig cooked for us, and Ashley did too. And hers was good. I shouldn't say but. Can she hear me? Maybe. Okay. All right. So anyways, we ate at the Miller's house, or Miller Jr.'s house, and Beth and I, when we got to Chipley, we were like, oh, trees. We're still 3 years later. It's like, wow, this is what a forest looks like. You know, this is because we're still in shock in a way. We all are kind of in shock. And when something just massive happens, we're in shock. When 9/11 happened, I mean, I guarantee you guys know right where you were when it happened, because we were in shock. Well, when you read through chapter 23, you're going to see the shock of these ships that were pulling up. And they, like one ship said, you might as well turn around and go back to Tarshish. You might as well just go on back. And when they pull up and they see what has happened, they're in shock. So in verse 7, you see the shock of the city that has been laid waste. And this is what it says in verse 7. Is this your joyous city, whose antiquity is from ancient days, whose feet carried her far off to dwell? What does that mean? What does he mean by this? They're in disbelief that what has happened. Did this really happen to Tyre? Everything being leveled. Sidon being demolished also. They were together, laid waste. How can this happen? And the news spread throughout the Mediterranean Sea and the known world at that time, and the trading partners and the different cities. All the nations bemoaned Tyre's destruction. It affected the world at that time. And the prophet Isaiah points to the contrast here in verse 7 between Tyre's great expansion through their commercialism and through their materialism and the humbling under the hand of the Almighty. They're this joyous city, he says, whose antiquity is from way back. And because you were so prosperous, what do people that are so well, what do they get to do but travel? Whose feet, because you were so prosperous, it just spread throughout the world. Whose feet carried her far off to dwell. So we see this contrast. And the prophet, in a way, because if you remember, he's weeping in chapter 22, in verse 4. And he's still broken in chapter 23, because he knows God's people struggles. They struggle with what to do with wealth and success. We struggle with success. Amen? Do you know the Church of the Living God even struggles with success? You want to make us real spiritual? Take the pocketbook away. Amen? I guarantee you, we take the pocketbook away, the paycheck, every one of us will be on our face. Won't we? We struggle with this, guys. It's humbling. And Isaiah knows this, and so there's a little part of this where he's ridiculing them. And so the prophet's saying to the people, your pride in your glory and the glory of this city, this high living that you've been doing, and the prosperity that is so all over, that is spread not just to everyone in this city, but it's spread all over the world. Your prosperity. People wanted to come to Tyre. Tyre had the best stuff, the newest stuff, the most modern stuff. And they had stuff from all over the world. They were on the cutting edge. This was the Tower of Babel. It was the tower of human pride, this city. There was money to be made. Everybody made money in Tyre. Everybody worked. Everybody had enough. There was fun to be had. And people all over the world came to Tyre to meet. This was a place where business was done. It was an international city. If I could paint you a picture, it would be a kind of a mix between Las Vegas and New York. Business and pleasure reigned. In some ways, economic commercialism exerts even more influence on the hearts and lives of human beings than military power. Think about it. Stuff. We like stuff. Every one of us, don't we? I mean, good gracious. Half the stuff in our house right now needs to be burned up. And then the other half that is left, half of that needs to go. Seriously. Y'all know that. Do you know how much money is made in America off storage facilities? Because we don't have enough room in our house for our junk. We go rent places to put our junk in. It's sad. Y'all know. We're all in this together, aren't we? I know I'm going to get phone calls today. Preacher, my husband says I need to throw this away. I'm blaming it all on you. You've heard me say this. I'm going to say it again. When the body is comfortable, the soul decays. Our flesh craves comfort and happiness and to be pleasured. So we see the shock. Then we see the question. There was a question that was asked in verse 8. Let's look at verse 8. Who has taken this counsel against Tyre, the crowning city, whose merchandise are princes and traders are the honorable of the earth? Who would do this? Who would destroy or hurt or level such a provider? Why would you do this? Isaiah calls Tyre This is what he says in this verse. He says, Tyre is the bestower of crowns. The people in Tyre live like kings. They live like princes. They live like the honorable people. They listen, you went to Tyre, you made money. You had stuff. You didn't live like those poor peasants in Jerusalem, in Egypt. You went to Tyre for one reason. For success. And there was plenty of jobs. There was plenty of business. You made money, money, money. Because the city was made of so many rich people, and it was rich beyond the modern world. And so the question is, who did this? Who's the person that said, hey, let's lay Tyre to the ground. Let's level it. Let's not just take it over. That's one thing. Let's flatten it. Who would do that? Tyre enriched her people. As if she made them kings and princesses. Who would cut them off and why? Tyre was a city that was made where money made rulers. The top priority was to make money, have wealth, accrue wealth, to build your kingdom, to build your domain. I wonder if this sounds familiar. I won't say this, and y'all have heard me. We've talked about this here at New Hope. I want you to know something. If you live in America and you live below the poverty line in America, if you live off welfare in America, you live in the top 10% of the world. Now, I want that to sink in. Do you know that if you make over $50,000 in America as a single person, now I'm not talking about it in a family, but if you make over $50,000 as a single person in America, you live in the top 1% of the world. That's how much God has blessed our nation. Now I'm going to skip to the end right now, but I'm going to get back. I'm going to go back to it. The reason why I'm putting this on us is, number one, it's in God's Word, and we're going through the whole book. But number two, where is your heart? Where is your heart? Do you, believer, do you, New Hope, do you love Christ most? Truly, do you love Him most? Is He your friend? Is He your brother? Do you love His Father? Do you pray? Do you passionately pursue Jesus? Or do you pursue other things more? Do you? It's time for you to evaluate you. To sit down and go, what's more important to me? Because hear me. I just gave you facts about where you are with the world. I mean, the top 1%. That's wealthy. Amen? But you guys know that. You guys are thinkers. That means if you live in the projects and on welfare, you're in the top 10% of the wealthiest people in the world. I can't even remember where I was here. What happens to us when we pursue the comforts of this world, the ease of this world, the wealth of this world, more than we pursue our spiritual well-being? What happens to us? Verse 9 is the answer. Let's look at it. The Lord of hosts has purposed it to bring to dishonor the pride of all glory, to bring into contempt all the honorable of the earth. What's the answer? What's our answer? I mean, let's just get down to it. We want to know what Scripture says, but let's just talk about us. What's our answer? That God will strip such people of their pride. He will take them down in rank. He will discipline us. He will do what it takes. God will rebuke the haughtiness and declare war on our pride. You know this. You guys are biblically literate enough. You guys are mature enough. You know this. He always will humble the proud. Always. Always. Isaiah makes it very clear that this devastation is no accident. It's no feat, or it's no ebb and flow of economic markets. There's no military might that it's not this something that just happened because the market crashed or whatever. There's a purpose behind it. And Isaiah says that God did it. This is a direct judgment of a holy God against the pride of flesh. Tyre, the city, the people soared and they wanted more and more and more. And in this more gathering, they forgot God. And that's an affront to a holy God. The commercialization of the city was an idolatrous system that supplanted God in the hearts of the customers. It wasn't the city. It wasn't what they were doing. It was the consumers of all this, wanting more, 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 and less, less, less of God. Amen? You guys are not saying a whole lot. Listen to this. So God will humble all human pride and all glory that competes against His glory. Do you hear me? Whatever competes against God's glory, God will humble. Now I'm going to say something, and I do realize where we are, that we're in the deep south. I get it. But I need to say this. When we place our country, and when we worship freedom more than we worship God, God is going to punish us. Do you hear me? We need to make sure our hearts are right. Because judgment is coming. I'm going to say this to you. Isaiah chapter 3, you can go back and read it. Isaiah chapter 3 says, when children and women start running nations, we're in trouble. I'm so sick of listening to Greta Thunberg, I can't hardly, my eyes start crossing. And do you know, I know she, that poor young girl, I pray for her. All the time I pray for her. I pray for her parents that they will wake up and advise her and lead her rightly. And I know that poor young girl is just being used as a figure. I mean, but she's setting down, I don't know if y'all know this, with heads of nations. And they're listening to an 18-year-old girl. I just grieve. I think about, you read Isaiah chapter 3, and it talks about one of the punishments of a nation is when he starts removing male leadership. That's, you see judgment. You see the hand of God. Hear me when I say this. This is why I'm reminding you of it. Because we are here. We're not at the beginning of Romans chapter 1. We're at the end of Romans chapter 1, where God has already given us over to a depraved mind. We have lost our minds. We don't think right. 1 + 1 doesn't equal 2 anymore. It doesn't. We're doing funny math. And it should grieve us. It should break us. But I'm afraid we're asleep in Zion. We're comfortable. And I'm afraid that we've accumulated so much of our own stuff that we aren't broken anymore. I'm talking about God's people, you and I. I'm not talking about everybody else. Let's don't talk about them. Let's talk about you and your family and your marriage and your relationship. God is not going to allow things to compete with Him. He's not going to do it. He's a jealous God. He will not do that. Hear me. If there's something you put above Him, He's going to remove it. If you're His. If you're not, He's going to let you go do whatever you want to do. But if you're His child, you're not an illegitimate child. Right? And when we pray the Lord's Prayer, our Father, how He deals with you is how He deals with other brothers and sisters. He's our Father. He's not going to let His children. He is a good Father. He's not going to turn a blind eye. He's not going to say, I'm too tired to deal with that youngin' again. Which y'all know, listen, mom and daddies out there, y'all know what I'm talking about. I'm wore out. I'm too tired to do it. He's not like that. Praise the Lord. Amen? He's a good dad. So what does this mean? What does this mean for us? This is what it means. This is in closing. What time is it? Oh, man. Y'all need to listen faster. This is what this means for us. Christ alone has the power to rescue us. Amen. Amen. He alone. Christ alone. There's no other Savior. Not money. Not your castle. Not your mate. Christ alone. Amen. From the greed that comes with being in such a wealthy nation, and we all got it. It's Isaiah 6:5. Lord, I'm undone. And I dwell with the people that's undone. The spirit of Tyre is still alive and well. That same spirit that Isaiah is confronting is alive. We can see it. You can see it as you walk down the aisles of Walmart. You can see it as you go online to Amazon. You can see it as you go down Best Buy. You can see it. Write this verse down. Luke 12:15 says this. And Jesus said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses. What is the right response? What is your right response to materialism? And from this age, believers, please learn how to be content in the Lord. Amen. Learn this discipline. Learn what it means to be satisfied with Jesus. Content in the Lord. Now listen, I want you to understand me when I say this. When you start being content in the Lord, then you're content with what the Lord gives you. Contentment does not mean laziness. It is, matter of fact, that's not, you need to work to be content. Learn what a dollar means. And you need to be suspicious of your own flesh. Wait a minute. Flesh. What? Why? What are we doing here? Why are we doing this? Jeremiah 17:9. You know that. Learn. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. Learn to say no. Learn to say no to yourself and listen to me. Here goes, this is moms, I'm sorry. Well, and dads. Learn to say no to your children also. And I want to encourage you. Lastly, I mean work, strive hard to be debt free. I mean get after it. Don't owe any man anything if you can. I mean get after it, work hard, do what you can to only owe God. Amen. Listen to me, please. Do not, please, I beg you, don't let that credit card rule your life. Please, y'all, please. 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 That's part of being content with the Lord. I'm going to give you some verses for you to look at, and then we're going to pray. This is for you to go home with. 1 Corinthians 7:29-31. James 4:4. 1 John 2:15-17. And the last one is Revelation 18. Now listen, I want you to be careful with Revelation 18. Because when you start reading that chapter, it's going to convict you so badly. And in that chapter, I think it's verse 4, it may be verse 3. God calls out His people. He says, please come out of this. Please come out of this. Please awaken and see. Come, don't. And it's about the fall of Babylon. Revelation chapter 18. But when you read it, you're going to think, this is America. This is us. And hear me. Hear me when I tell you this. You are living in the spirit, not you personally, but our nation. This is the spirit of Tyre. We are living in the spirit of Babylon, likened to Babylon. This is, we are so wealthy of a nation. There has never been a nation ever in the history of man that has known wealth and prosperity like America. And we are killing babies. God have mercy on us. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Your Word. Lord, may it pierce through our hearts. May we heed the warnings. May we see what is around us. Lord, may we see what is in our own homes, in our hearts. Lord, please, God, grant us repentance. Help us to rend our clothes. Help us to put ashes on our head. Lord, show us Your face. Be merciful. Pour Your grace out upon us. Lord God, please, please, Lord, do not leave us to ourselves. For we will make excuses for ourselves, for our children, for our family. Lord, we'll make all kind of excuses. Lord, please treat us like Your children. Do what brings You the most glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
If you stand. We've heard prayers offered this morning. We've sung songs. We've heard God's Word proclaimed. If you'd respond with me this morning by singing the doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him all creatures here below. Praise Him above ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. You're dismissed.